It is 7 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Stay tuned now for the Opera Box.
Here's a way to simplify your life. Donate that vehicle you no longer need to help us bring you more great community radio. It's easy and free to you. Here's how to get started. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or go to kgnu.org.
Well, good evening and welcome everyone in the Opera Box at KGNU, the best seat in the house. I'm Ron Nadell, your host, and my playlist tonight highlights the great mezzo Brigitte Fassbaender. Known for her unique, forceful mezzo and intelligent, evocative portrayals, such as Count Orlovsky in Strauss's Die Fledermaus. And we'll hear her in the music of Verdi, Wagner, Mozart, Saint-Saëns, and more when you join me now in the Opera Box. The extravagant, androgynous Count Orlovsky, entertaining his New Year's Eve guests with flowing bubbly. He admits he's eccentric, but hey, to each his own. From Johann Strauss's Die Fledermaus, The Bat, one of the signature roles of Brigitte Fassbaender, with André Previn conducting the Vienna Philharmonic and the Vienna State Opera Chorus. It's 4 minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadell at KGNU, and I've got a playlist highlighting the magnetic mezzo-soprano Brigitte Fassbaender. Fassbaender was born in Berlin in 1939 to theater parents. Her mother was a famous stage actress, and her father was a famous baritone and teacher. Her first teacher was, in fact, her father, and she studied at the Nuremberg Conservatory. Her debut came in 1961 in the trouser role, Nicholas, in Offenbach's Tales of Hoffmann. But the role that launched her into the international spotlight was another trouser role, Octavian, in Richard Strauss's Rosenkavalier, which she sang at the Munich Opera, the Met, and the Royal Opera Covent Garden, all in 1971. But her first love was acting and the theater. She said in interviews, I was obsessed with the theater and wanted to be just like my mother. Her career was thus divided into acting and opera. Her acting experience translated effectively to her work in opera so that, with her dramatic intensity, she was given the name the Queen of Anguish. I think you'll understand why after you hear these next two arias. First, we'll hear her as Princess Eboli in Verdi's Don Carlo, and then as La Gioconda in Ponchielli's opera, one of Fassbinder's few lead roles. Princess Eboli was in love with Don Carlo, but she learned he loved someone else, and in a fit of jealousy, she denounced him to the Spanish Inquisition. In her aria, translated here to German, she realizes she's put Carlo's life in jeopardy, and she berates herself, declaring jealousy as a cruel master. Then La Gioconda is a singer in the 17th century Venice. She is the object of the unwanted, lustful desire of Bonaba, a spy for the Inquisition. By the last act, she's caught up in Barnaba's diabolical web of blackmail, and in a moment of despair, she feels suicide may be her only way out.
Thank you. Thank you.
The singer La Gioconda, in a moment of great despair, contemplates suicide. From Ponchielli's La Gioconda, with Brigitte Fassbender and Georg Albrecht, conducted the Munich Philharmonic. Before that, we heard Princess Ebeli rebuking herself for giving in to her jealousy, from Verdi's Don Carlo. And Giuseppe Pitani conducted the German Opera Orchestra Berlin in that recording. It's all part of my playlist highlighting the great German mezzo Brigitte Fassbender. Starring roles are usually given to sopranos, and mezzo roles are usually subordinate, supporting characters who are there to react to events rather than driving them. But Fassbender was known for breathing dramatic life into these characters. Because of her divided career, she was able to pick and choose the ones that interested her the most. In addition to acting, Fassbender was also devoted to Lieder, art songs, and her talent for characterization thus put her in just as much demand as a recital artist. Another acting challenge that Fassbender was greatly attracted to was the trouser roles, the roles of a man sung by female voice, such as Count Orlovsky that we heard at the top of the show, or Niklaus and Octavian. Well, another such role which Fassbender became identified with was Sesto, or Sextus, the young patrician in Mozart's Clemenza di Tito, Titus's clemency. Sextus was drawn into a conspiracy to assassinate Emperor Titus by Vitellia, the daughter of the deposed emperor, with whom Sextus is in love. Well, the attempt fails, and an innocent victim dies instead. In Act Two, when Sextus realizes what he's done, he confesses everything, declaring that he alone should be held responsible and deserves to die.
Thank you.
The guilt-ridden Sextus confesses to plotting to assassinate Emperor Titus. Titus will decide to pardon Sextus and Vitellia. From Mozart's La Clemenza di Tito, Titus's Clemency. With Brigitte Fassbender as Sextus and Hans Graf conducted the Stuttgart Radio Symphony Orchestra. Well, it's about 24 and a half minutes after the hour. You're in the Opera Box with Ron Nadel at KGNU, and I've got a playlist which is a tribute to the great mezzo-soprano Brigitte Fassbender. Well, Fassbender's attention to character and detail grew naturally out of her theater work, and in addition to her acting, she became the director of several theaters and opera houses. This gave her an added depth of experience in the nuances of working to bring a character to life. And that included refining one's use of foreign language. We got an example of that just now from Clemenza di Tito and earlier from her aria Suicidio, Suicide, from La Gioconda. Well, listen to her immaculate French in this aria from Saint-Saëns' Samson and Delilah. In Delilah's Act I aria, Printemps qui commence. Delilah is another rare mezzo lead role, and in this aria, the temptress Delilah begins her seduction of the guileless strongman Samson. She tells him that while spring blossoms all around them, it yet feels like winter in her heart.
Qui commence pour
The seductive Philistine Delilah works her charms on the weakening Samson. From Act One of Samson and Delilah by Camille Saint-Saëns with Brigitte Fassbender, Hans Graf conducted the Stuttgart Radio Symphony Orchestra. One of the greatest supporting mezzo roles that lives and dies in the singer's expressiveness is Valtrauta from Act One of Wagner's Götterdämmerung, The Twilight of the Gods. It's the fourth opera in Wagner's four-part fantasy epic, The Nibelung's Ring. Valtrauta is a Valkyrie warrior goddess, one of Brunhilde's eight sisters. Brunhilde was punished in opera number two, The Valkyrie, for disobeying her father, Wotan, king of the gods. She was banished and lost her immortality as a result. Since then, Brunhilde became the wife of the hero Siegfried and wears his ring. She does not know that it is the all-powerful Nibelung's ring, stolen ages ago. Well, in this aria, Valtrauta, against Wotan's orders, has come to Brunhilde. She brings distressing news. Wotan and all the gods of Valhalla are deteriorating, their powers weakening, their vitality and immortality waning. Very nature itself is falling into decay and disorder. Wotan and the gods no longer seem interested or able to rule the world. And one day he told Valtrauta, if only Brunhilde would return the stolen ring, it would restore the gods and the world. And Valtrauta begs her to do that.
Schweift als Wanderer. sah mich nach. Von seiner Seite durch stumme Reihen stahl ich mich fort. In heimlicher Hast bestieg ich mein Ross und ritt im Sturme zu dir.
Valtrauta's narrative from Wagner's The Twilight of the Gods, featuring the great Brigitte Fassbinder with Hans Graf conducting the Stuttgart Radio Symphony Orchestra. Well, Fassbinder may not have had as broad of a repertoire as other opera stars, but she got a lot of miles out of the characters she portrayed. And in particular, if you go on YouTube, you can see some of her amazing performances, such as the guilt-tortured Clytemnestra from Electra, or the young man Octavian from the wonderful Rosenkavalier by Richard Strauss, both on YouTube. Well, Fassbinder retired from opera in 1995 to focus on the theater. She became the managing director of several theaters and opera houses. She wrote the text for two musicals and gives master classes even now in her 80s. I'm going to conclude tonight's tribute to Fassbinder with her bitter aria of the Wood Dove from Schoenberg's Gurlitter. Tove was a young woman and King Valdemar's lover. The queen found out about her and had her killed. At the end of part one, a wood dove brings the sad news to the animals of the woods. The aria begins in lament as the voice of the wood dove tells of Tova's death and of Valdemar's grief. But by the end, the lament turns to anguish and rage, climaxing in the orchestra to her words, "Far I flew, sorrow I sought, death I found."
Schultern Henning stützt ihn. Finster war die Nacht. Eine einzige Frau fährt am Weg. Die Königin this
The Wood Dove's Lament. From part one of Schoenberg's Gurleader, featuring the Queen of Anguish, Brigitte Fassbaender, with Ricardo Chailly conducting the Berlin Radio Symphony Orchestra. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadel. I want to thank you all for keeping me company this evening in the Opera Box here at KGNU. And please stay with us for A Classic Monday with your host, Gary McBride.
If you're thinking about supporting KGNU, but you're not quite ready to make a monetary contribution, consider giving a vehicle you no longer use. You can always donate that. We'll arrange to have it picked up, sold at auction to someone who needs it, and invest the funds into covering the news. It's a win-win. Support the programming you rely on. Get started today at kgnu.org or call 1-844-KGNU-CAR. That's 1-844-546-8227. And thanks.
This is Aaron Reynolds with Emporium Presents. We're a national concert promoter, and we do a variety of events in Colorado each year. I've been working with KGNU for several years now to inform their listeners about a variety of events that we have in the area. We regularly see an increase in ticket sales around our campaigns and believe strongly in KGNU's ability to reach our target audience.
This is KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Coming up next, A Classic Monday.
Support comes from the KGNU listener members and Ska Street's Boulder Brew Pub and Distillery, featuring an award-winning distillery and handcrafted beers brewed in-house. Now open for dine-in service with heated outdoor patios. Ska Street Brewstillery, tucked behind the shrubbery at 38th and Arapaho.
Good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. My name's Gary McBride and I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Tonight, music by Ruth Crawford Seeger, Philippe Gobert, Ottorino Respighi, Bo Linda, and Salim Palmgren. But to begin, a major work by the African-American composer William Dawson, his Negro Folk Symphony, composed in 1934. Dawson was born in Anniston, Alabama in 1899. At age 13, he ran away from home to study music full-time as a pre-college student at the Tuskegee Institute under the tutelage of school president Booker T. Washington. Dawson paid his tuition by being a music librarian and manual laborer working in the school's agricultural division. He was also a member of Tuskegee's choir, band, and orchestra, composing and traveling extensively with the Tuskegee Singers for 5 years. By the end of his university studies, he had learned to play almost every orchestral instrument. Dawson began composing at a young age, chamber music, orchestral, and choral literature. His best-known work is this one, his Negro Folk Symphony of 1934, premiered by Leopold Stokowski and the Philadelphia Orchestra. Dawson said that the composition was an attempt to convey the missing elements that had been lost when Africans came into bondage outside their homeland. In three movements, The Bond of Africa, Hope in the Night, and Oh, Let Me Shine, Shine Like a Morning Star, Negro Folk Symphony by William Dawson.